Well, good morning, man. I just realized after these three speakers, they were all fantastic, but I am the only non-pastor here, so please give me some grace as I'm speaking here today. This is not my forte, but I'm excited because I feel like God has given me a message to share this morning, a message that I feel is very close to my heart. So with that, my name is Brian Ziegler, and I am the Ohio director for an organization called Men of Iron. Men of Iron is a mentorship slash discipleship relationship ministry. And what we do is we focus on getting men together to strengthen marriages, to strengthen churches, and to strengthen communities. So it's just a blessing to be a part of that. And I am passionate about discipleship for many reasons. And I thought about that. Why am I so passionate? And one of the reasons I'm passionate about discipleship is because when I was 25 years old and I was messed up and I had a lot of things going on in my life, I had a man come into my life and completely transform me. He taught me what it meant to be a father, what it meant to be a husband, what it meant to be a son, what it meant to follow Jesus. So from that, I became passionate about it. And I can bet if I went around and asked a lot of you guys, if you've had somebody that has mentored you in your life, you would probably say yes. Amen? All right. So what I want to do is just a couple things today. First of all, I want to tell you and just share a little bit about my own mentorship experience and how that changed my life. Secondly, I want to talk about what Scripture looks like, specifically one piece of Scripture about mentorship. And third, kind of a challenge at the end is what Men of Iron is doing and how maybe you can partner with us in 2019 to help bring mentorship alive here in Stark County. So I want to start out with a story here. And before I do that, I just want you guys to know that this story isn't about me. This story is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the amazing things he does through each and every one of us. So I'm not up here boasting about myself, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so how many of you, I know we got some younger guys in here, but how many of you remember when you were 21 years old? All right, when I was 21, man, I thought I had everything figured out. You guys remember that? I was a star basketball player playing Division I basketball at the University of Akron. I was had a lot of girlfriends, had a lot of friends, never had to wait in line in any of the clubs or the bars. I just went right to the front of it. Drugs and alcohol were a big part of my life. But I thought I had reached something. I thought I had proven something to myself. I had reached my goals. Well, I would still come home every night, and I would feel empty inside, like there's something missing. And everything I would try to fill inside of it, I just couldn't fill that void. So I grew up in church. Now, I say that, when I say I grew up in church, that was mom and dad dragging me, kicking and screaming, going to church in the morning, right? So I knew that there was a Jesus, but I had no relationship with Jesus. So I remember this very clearly. I came home one night after a night of partying. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, man, something's got to change. Something has got to change in my life. I can't keep doing this. So I thought, I'm going to do something that I haven't ever done before. I'm gonna pray. I'm going to have a conversation with the Father. Now, I had prayed before, but mostly my prayers were, dear God, don't let me go to jail, or dear God, please let me win this basketball game. But this prayer, man, this was different. This was a prayer of someone who was just at the end of the rope. So I remember getting on my knees and just praying. I said, God, I know you're supposed to help people, and I need help. And I need you to make a change in my life by any means necessary. And you need to do it now. Have you guys ever prayed like that before? Man, I call those desperate prayers. Because when you pray like that, you better be sure that you're ready for how Jesus may show up. So let me give you about a two-week snapshot. 2 weeks later after that prayer, I'm driving with some of my friends. We had just finished up work and doing our concrete job. We were only on the road for about, maybe 2 miles or so when the driver loses control of the vehicle, slams into the guardrail, and I was ejected out of the side passenger window, and I land directly on my neck. the nurses, they grab me, put me in the ambulance. They take me over to Altman Hospital, and they do emergency surgery on my neck, and they put these screws and metal in my neck. The next day I wake up, I remember the doctor, looking at the doctor, and he says three things to me. He says, Brian, you have a broken neck, you're paralyzed from the neck down, and you're probably never going to walk again. Now, it's at that moment, every dream, every ambition, every goal in my life just went out the window. So the next day, they shipped me up to Metro Health Medical Center in Cleveland, where I did 3.5 months of intensive therapy. And the doctors told me I had a 10% chance of ever getting up and walking again. Well, at the end of that 3 months, through the healing of Jesus Christ, I was able to stand up. Yeah, that's right. I'm able to take some steps. But here's the problem I wasn't getting. I was still mad. I was still angry. I was still disappointed because I felt like God took away the one thing in my life that I cared about, and that was basketball. So for the next 4 years of my life, I walked around aimlessly because I convinced myself nobody wants to marry that guy. I can't have any kids. I can't have a job. So I just filled my day with what I thought the only thing I was good at, which was drugs and alcohol. And to top it off, now I got my hands on prescription drug pills, and I realized, you know what, I can sell these things and make money from it. It's funny how quickly your decisions can transform your life and get you off the road, and that's what happened to me. So then one day, I start dating a really, really important person in my life who later becomes my wife, and she urged me. She's like, you need to try something different. Why don't you go to church? And I said, well, I haven't done that in a while. So what I did was I showed up at this church in Jackson Township. It was a big church. And I went way up to the top of the bleachers so no one could see me. I smelled like cigarettes and booze, but I didn't care. So I went up there, and what I heard was this young pastor comes on stage, and he was wearing a Cleveland Browns jersey. And he's talking about a message I had never heard. It was a message of forgiveness. It was a message of discipleship, of mentorship, of Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ will meet you wherever you are. And it was like music to my ears. So here I am. Picture this, guys. Like, I'm standing all the way at the top of those bleachers. I hobble myself all the way down to the front of the auditorium here, and I see the preacher standing in front of me. And I said, listen, man, I don't know who you are, but I feel like I'm supposed to be around you. And the young pastor, he just kind of smiles a little bit. And he said, okay, well, meet me tomorrow at Starbucks and bring your Bible. So I did. I went and met that guy. And I brought my Bible. And here's the thing about mentorship and discipleship. We have a tendency to complicate it, don't we? We complicate the heck out of it. I'll give you books. I'll give you series. I'll give you podcasts about it. But here's what my mentor did to simplify it and change my life. We went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For a year, that's all we did. But it transformed my life because all of a sudden the gospel became real to me. It wasn't just Jesus, the person. Now I have a relationship with it. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big-time visual guy. So here's the best way that I can put it. So this is my life, this glass of water, before mentorship happened to me. Not much happening, just kind of stagnant, stale, just kind of existing. So then, all right, so the Holy Spirit enters my life, obviously. But then, my mentor shows up. And my mentor shows up in the form of, we use Alka-Seltzer today, okay? So here's my mentor. He shows up inside of my life, which is stagnant. And this is what happens, man. A reaction. And that's what happens inside all of our bodies when true mentorship happens. Because what happened with me is my life is no longer the same. And I can't be the same. Like, my DNA has changed because of mentorship. Now I want to go out and live out Matthew 28. I just don't want to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And my life from that has been completely transformed. All right, so I do want to look at Scripture, because from that, I was led to Acts chapter 14, and Kirk alluded to it a little bit ago. And this is, we're going to start in verse 1. And this is Paul and Barnabas. Verse 1, it says, "In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual to the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of the Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, other with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with the leaders, to mistreat them and to stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news." So Paul and Barnabas, Kirk talked about this earlier. Barnabas spent major time mentoring Paul, right? And likewise, they were there. And just a chapter before, in chapter 13, in the church of Antioch, they sent these guys apart, right? They set them apart, they laid hands on them, and they sent them out together, right? That's important. That's what we talked about. If you've ever watched a nature channel, you know what happens to that antelope that goes solo, right? It gets demolished by the lion. So Paul and Barnabas are together on these missionary journeys, and they're going out. And what happens here is they're preaching the gospel. They're preaching it boldly. And when we preach the gospel boldly, you also see a reaction, don't you? Some people respond to it, and some people are like, "Whoa, that's, I don't know if I can handle that." And that's kind of what was happening in the city here. And eventually, Paul heals a man who was crippled. And Paul heals him. And eventually, these people inside of the city, they start worshiping them as gods. Zeus and Hermes have come back. And Paul says, "No. That's not us. It's not us. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does this. It's not us." He was adamant about it. And that caused a reaction. It says some men came and stirred up the crowd. But it also said women, too. So we got to throw that in. It's not just us guys that did that, right? So I want to show you here in verse 19. It says, "Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city the next day. He and Barnabas left for Derbe." Here's what I want you guys to remember. Stoning, a pretty common practice back then, right? So these men had probably stoned, I'm just guessing, but probably hundreds of men before and women before. So the most common form of stoning in that day, where they would go and dig a big hole, they would place an individual in there, probably up to their shoulders, and everybody kind of circles around. They all grab a stone at the same time, and they all throw it. And they do this, that way everybody has responsibility for the death, but not one person has sole responsibility. Okay? So keep that picture in your mind. So they leave thinking Paul was dead. Paul wasn't dead because God wasn't finished with him yet. But what happens, this is the picture of discipleship and mentorship I want you guys to take with you, is then it says in Scripture, the next day, Paul and Barnabas left for Derbe. Now, Derbe wasn't just a quick hike to the next county. Like, this was an 18-mile walk. So imagine a beat-up Paul, a bruised Paul, a hurt Paul, a bleeding Paul, trying to make this 18-mile walk trek. He didn't do that thing alone, did he? He's probably holding on to Barnabas. Barnabas may have been carrying him at times all the way to make that walk to Derbe. So here's where this thing is practical to us. There's going to be times in our lives that we're going to need the Barnabas, aren't we? Our marriages are going to be in trouble. Our finances are going to be in trouble. Our kids may be acting up. Or maybe there's just nothing at all going on and we're just stagnant in our walk. We need a Barnabas. We are designed to be created to be in a community. We cannot do this alone. So that picture of Paul and Barnabas going to Derby is what changed my life and called me into full-time ministry. And this only happened about 2 weeks ago. I had a great job where I was working for the Department of Defense. I was happy. My 401k was doing great. Stock was doing really well. But God said, you know what? I've got something else for you to do. And mentorship and discipleship has been such a passion of mine, and I'm living it out, that God says, I want you to try something else. So I started full-time with Men of Iron just on October 1st. So give that video for Men of Iron that we can show real fast.
At Men of Iron, we believe men are distinctly called to be godly leaders. It's for this reason that we work to equip men and grow these leaders through mentorships.
I was having a bad experience in life when I met my mentor, thinking I could do things on my own.
We connect mentors with proteges and provide opportunity for accountability, balance, and spiritual growth.
I had a number of 3 a.m. friends, but I didn't have that person walking beside me intentionally. Having a one-on-one accountability partner is invaluable.
We partner with churches and communities to implement and execute culture-changing ministries focused on leadership and strength.
It brought me closer to my family, brought me closer to God.
I got blessed that my husband chose to do this prior to our marriage, because I don't think that we would have started our marriage off on the strong point that we did.
I know life is a lot better with Men of Iron. It's tough to imagine being where I was 3 years ago still.
Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. One man sharpening another. We believe that through this, God will change a culture. One man, one family, one church, and one community at a time.
Share just a little bit about what Men of Iron is doing right here in Stark and Summit and Wayne and Tusk County. That's my beautiful wife. As you guys can see, I definitely married up. Those are my two kiddos. So can we go to the couple more slides? Past the video. All right, here we go. So the vision, this is a big vision that we have here for Northeast Ohio, but we want to change a culture, one man, one family, one church, and one community at a time. And the reason this impacts me so much is not only my love for the men in this community, but also because I have a son, and I want him to grow up in a community where mentorship just happens. It's just a part of the DNA. Can you go to the next one? Mission. To equip willing men and grow godly leaders through creating and sustaining one-on-one and microgroup mentorships. The key word there is willing men. We have to be able to hear the call, right? So we want to equip willing men. Can you go to that next one? And there's that word again. We've been hearing it all day. Through these mentorships, we want to equip men to have an accountability, a balance, and a spiritual growth. We do this through not just the mentorship curriculum, but also we want to share goals as well. And we have 5 goals we focus on. We call them the 5 Fs: faith, family, friends, fitness, and finance. One more. But none of this happens unless we are solid in God's word, prayer, and solitude, right? Nothing happens without that. So let me leave you with this last picture. So somebody talked earlier about Mount Everest. That was you, correct? So Mount Everest. This is a picture of my mentor, Jason, here when I climbed Machu Picchu about a few years ago. Now, Machu Picchu is about 10,000 feet above sea level. There is no rules or regulations. You can get right to the edge of it. So if I took one wrong step, I was going off the side of that cliff. And you guys watch me walk. I'm not the best walker. So if that's not a picture of mentorship, if that's not a picture of discipleship, I don't know what is. My body is bruised. My body is broken. My body is hurting at that time. And there's my mentor right there every step of the way holding me up that mountain. So thank you, guys. It's been great. Appreciate your time.
Hey, just stay up here a second. So, if somebody here is interested in being involved with Men of Iron, what's the process?
So you can go to menofiron.org, And you can see right there, all my contact information will be on there. I've actually got some cards up here I'll leave up here on the mantle that you can get, and you guys can get a hold of me that way. But yeah, that's the easiest way to do it. But we are partnering right now with about 15 local churches, Pro Football Hall of Fame, Game Plan for Life, the Alive Festival. So a lot of cool things are happening. We actually meet, so we're partnering with churches, and we partner with communities and organizations. So the idea is to sustain like one-on-one relationships inside here, so inside the churches. So we match up mentor, like you would be a mentor, and then you would have a protege, and the meetings are happening all over. The cool part is if you would walk in Stark County right now to any Panera Bread or Starbucks on a Saturday morning, you'll actually see the two mentor and protégés meeting up.